Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Weekend, bitch. This is Mark in the Morning. So today, got a ton of show. Trump and Hillary are going after each other on Twitter. And they're saying this is just the beginning. It is going to get so nasty so quickly. And speaking of Trump, if you're a fan, there's a dating site. Date a like-minded Trump fan. Up in the morning, it's 6 o'clock. A soccer player has been banned for half a year because he wore SpongeBob pants.
What?
Yeah, it's a foreign country and they want to keep it clean over there. No SpongeBob.
Okay.
Good God. The other night on game 3 of the NBA Finals, Justin Bieber got in a fight at his hotel. This dude that was twice the size smacked Justin to the ground. We're going to try to get the video up.
The video is up at Mark in the Morning Facebook. I haven't watched it yet, though.
If you want to see Justin Bieber smacked around, this is your day. This is your lucky day. Lou Diamond Phillips, we talked to him. Chick on the Street is on the street today. She is all about this pink drink from Starbucks. Later, we'll give you the exact location because you can drop by. You can try the pink drink. Lisa Lillian of Hungry Girl has put together a healthy version of the pink drink. And then a third one. What's the other third
one? Strawberry Quick.
Okay.
So we're doing a blind taste test.
All right, Gray Drake's going to guide us through the movies. Today we speak with former President Bill Clinton. I had to break this to Gina. We have a round of You Hate to Hear It today.
On a Friday when I'm trying to feel good.
Now, we have this Kay, that's her first name, Sadia. Kay Sadia, she is one of the top-selling Tupperware artists. She goes in and does parties. They say it's hysterical, and she is the number one salesman for Tupperware. In the room today, as we prepare for Gay Pride Weekend, West Hollywood, whoop, whoop. And we then, here's our topic for today. What did you buy when you were drunk? What did you buy when you were drunk? And I've got one. So we'll come back with it. This is Mark in the Morning. So last night, the Songwriters Hall of Fame's 47th annual gala spotlighted the class of 2016 inductees. Elvis Costello, the late Marvin Gaye, Chip Taylor, Tom Petty, chic writer-producer Nile Rodgers, and the late Bernard Edwards. Lionel Richie was this year's Johnny Mercer Award winner. He was introduced by the Hall's co-chairman Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff. Here, Lionel recalls the failed tryout for Gamble and Huff.
We did an audition for these gentlemen way back when, and they gave us the launch that we needed, even though the answer was no. They said, "Boy, you sound just like the record." We copied everybody. We could play Cool in the Gang better than Cool in the Gang. We could do everything. And they pulled us over to the side. They said, "That's great, fellas. What do you sound like?" Bing, the bell went off. So I want to thank these two absolute master songwriters. I couldn't have been here until you said no to me. I love you both very much. You will always
be my endless love.
Wow.
I'm not even mad at that. That was hilarious.
All right, now listen, it's early, and I've done this before, and I want to do it again because it's kind of important. It's about your health. And, you know, I talk to you guys about getting out, putting your tennis shoes on, take a brisk walk or whatever. I went to the doctor 3 weeks ago, and I knew it was going to be bad. I was dreading the blood work coming back. My cholesterol was double what it should be. And so I immediately started working out, making sure I worked out every day extra hard, including cardio. I started watching everything I ate. I went to the doctor yesterday. They weighed me. I lost 7 pounds in 3 weeks. Cholesterol is, this is where you can have a stroke. Mm-hmm. You don't mess with this. And she was looking at my, she was looking at my numbers and she said, obviously you're at a point where I think you need to take something, but I've seen worse. It could be worse, but the idea is to get on the better side of it. So she has put me on Lipitor. So I'm going to start taking that. And this is just a shout out to all of you, especially the guys. Guys don't like to go to the doctor. You really have to stay on the other side of your health, especially when you're starting to move up in years. Gina has begun watching everything she eats with the dietitian and working out 2-3 times a day.
By the way, I'm crazy sore right now. But yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, look, every day that you're healthy is a good day, but sometimes staying healthy means you got to go to the doctor.
Yeah, you got to put the work in.
Yeah. You got to deal with the stuff that's out of whack, and you got to deal with it because you want to be there looking good when you get your grandkids. So do I. And I'll share this real quickly. Mark, love you, Gina, Jackie, Katie, Danny, and even Mikey too much for words. Speaking of words, I literally listen to each and every word you guys spew out of your pie holes each and every day. I mean, I could win a contest based on trivia questions about your show. Ooh. I love it. I really do. It's my favorite when Eric gets involved in the shenanigans. Anyway, all this talk lately about health and fitness inspired me to write and to let you know that you are my sole motivation each and every day to get up and get moving. I strap on my tennis shoes and I take a brisk 45-minute walk each and every Monday through Friday in an effort to get some time alone with myself to listen to your show via podcast. I love every second of that walk. I laugh out loud while soaking up sun, while all the while thanking the good Lord, baby Jesus, for Mark in the Morning and 100.3 The Sound. Thank you for making all my days better.
That, I don't want to step on that post. That was beautiful. That's an awesome letter. That makes me feel really good. I know that makes all of us feel really good. But he said something very interesting. What was his name? Do we know? We got to find out at some point.
It is Kelly Rendernecht.
Or Kelly. Yeah. Okay, Kelly, you're so good at Mark in the Morning trivia. We should probably set up a little trivia contest for Kelly.
Oh, I like it.
See how Kelly does.
Yeah, Kelly, let's find out just how good you are, girl or guy. All right, so real quickly, Gene Simmons is hosting a new series for BBC Radio called I Love It Loud. Simmons signed Van Halen to a production deal in the mid-70s and brought them to Electric Lady Studios in New York where they cut 15 songs. Gene owns all of those songs.
What? Gene owns Van Halen songs?
Yeah, the first album.
Okay, all right.
And the band didn't want these things released. The difference, Gene has released a demo of Running with the Devil. And you can tell it's a demo. It's not as polished as the release, but the difference in what I'm going to play for you and the original version is the guitar solo is twice as long.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to play the entire thing for you in 5 minutes. Right, so this morning, Chick on the Street is going to be on the street. We've been kind of all about this pink drink from Starbucks. And so Lisa Lillian from Hungry Girl, realizing everybody's been going in and ordering this secret menu pink drink, she took it to the kitchen, figured out what's in it, and has concocted a healthier version than the one that comes from Starbucks. And then there's strawberry quick. So we invite you to come down to the radio station. We're at 5900 Wilshire Boulevard. It's a high-rise 30-story building.
It says SBE on the top.
Katie is going to be in the back of the building on Ogden. Mm-hmm. Right there, they'll have a table set up. You can stop by and try these three drinks. You won't know which one is which. And we'll get your opinion as to how. And then later on, we'll talk to Lisa Lillian about how she put this together. So quick story. So Red, who
and
is
I'm
my,
sorry, I want to make sure we say this. About 7:15, come by.
Sorry. Yes. 7:15, 5900 Wilshire, 30-story high rise. She'll be in the back of the building right off Ogden. Easy to get to. 7:15. So Red, my 10-year-old chocolate lab, he sleeps in my closet at night.
Yeah.
And because he has separation anxiety, he will come out of the closet while we're sleeping just to make sure we're still there. Now, Red knows about what time I get up. Mm-hmm. So, and periodically he'll come around and he'll lay his face on the sheet so he can smell me while I'm sleeping. Oh. So this morning, I was a little late getting up. And so I turn and I'm looking at my my clock. I'm unaware that Red is lurking right there. I got a face and mouth full of dog tongue.
No.
That is an early morning wake up.
From New York, the greatest city in the world.
David Letterman says he couldn't care less about late night TV, including his late show replacement, Stephen Colbert. In a rare interview with NBC News, Tom Brokaw asked Dave if he missed being on CBS every night. He said, quote, "You know, I don't. And it's interesting. I thought for sure I would. And then the first day of Stephen's show, when he went on the air, an energy left me. And I felt like, you know, that's not my problem anymore. And I've kind of felt that way ever since. I devoted so much time to the damage of other aspects of my life, the concentrated, fixated, focusing on that. It's good now to not have that. I couldn't care less about late night television." As for his replacement, Dave said he thought CBS gave the job to the wrong person. Quote, "Ooh. There should be more women. And I don't know why they don't give my show to a woman. That would have been fine with me." The interview airs on Assignment, a limited series from Datelight NBC, Sunday at 7 p.m.
Interesting, because remember when this was all the buzz, who's going to replace Dave, who's going to replace Dave? So many people said, well, it's going to be Tina Fey, you know, yeah. Or it's going to be Amy Poehler. It's going to be, you know, some big, you know, comedian woman that we all love. And Stephen Colbert was great. But I think people are starting to think, or have been thinking, boy, that Stephen Colbert character is way more fun than Stephen Colbert, the host.
I don't know what the ratings are for all the late night shows, but is Stephen Colbert getting left in the dark on this?
Mikey says it's not so good.
Yeah. And actually, James Corden was on Colbert's show last Monday, and they actually joked about the fact that Corden's more popular than him and that he's going to be taken over soon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know exactly what David is saying there, because what was it, 30 years? 30 years, every ounce of his energy was dealing with this machine that is late night with David Letterman.
Right.
And I'm sure he probably worked 15 hours, and you deal with all the crap behind the scenes, the meetings, and how do we get right? How do we do this? How do we do that? And once that's gone, you heard him say it, an energy left me, and I don't care anymore.
That makes sense. In fact, there's a documentary we watched online, Tim and I, the other day, part one, about all the people who worked for Dave behind the scenes and what they're, you know, how they felt that the show was ending, because the people he hired on day one were the people that left on the last day. People did not leave that show. So it's really interesting. If I can find it, I'll post a link on Mark in the Morning Facebook.
Well, I went off on it when Dave retired, but I really do have to credit him. He showed me. I was a big fan of Tom Snyder, and one night Tom wasn't there, and this David Letterman guy was. He showed me that there is a wonderful spot in broadcast for stupid stuff. Stuff that doesn't even need to be on the air, but yet it is, and it's great. And I literally, now I don't want to say copied him, but I copied the idea that stupid can exist in a wonderful, warm environment on broadcast.
Copied him? You owe him your career.
Let us check the world of trending. Here is Miss Gina Grant.
Thank you. Well, a 5.2 earthquake hit Borrego Springs in the middle of the night, around 2 a.m. or so. Borrego Springs is northeast of San Diego. Did you feel it? A lot of people talking about it on Facebook this morning. The new map compiled by experts at the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, show all the places where you're most likely to be in contact with the Zika virus. It's mostly along our border. It's Southern California, little New Mexico, little Arizona. Everybody, please be careful. And here's what's trending in sports. The Yankees beat the Angels last night at Yankee Stadium, 6-3. I'm Gina Grad, and trending is brought to you by Subaru. Help them feed SoCal this month by donating non-perishable items to your local Subaru retailer. Coming up, we speak with Lou Diamond Phillips. But first, REM, this is Mark in the Morning.
Reigning NFL MVP quarterback Cam Newton shocked the world yesterday by announcing that his signature touchdown dance, the dab, is now retired. Cam says it's time to let the dab go. He had a lot of time to think about it this offseason, and he will come up with a little something-something to replace the dab. Now, maybe the dab, but you don't take away the Superman. You got kids everywhere doing the Superman.
The rip the shirt open?
Yeah.
Mark, remind me real quick what the dab looks like. So good. It looks like you're doing a Dracula sneeze.
Well, Andy Chandler, the man I fell in love with 2 years ago, was very funny. He was texting me yesterday. Stay strong, my friend. I know the dab is going away, but there will be a brighter day.
Yeah.
Stay strong.
Yeah.
Cracking me up, that idiot. We're waiting on Lou Diamond Phillips. So
We got him.
We have him?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to him. So, Lou, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Really good. I had you on the Mark and Brian program so many times. It's good to hear your voice again.
Mark, it is so great to hear yours, and I know you're doing well, and it's pretty fantastic talking to you again, brother.
Well, this guy, from the days where he starred in La Bamba, he has worked steadily. And, he had time to fit in his Texas Hold'em talents. He placed 31st out of 403 entrants in a California State Poker Tournament.
Yeah, and not bad. And then in the World Series of Poker, I got down to 164th out of 6,400. Made it to the last hand of day five. So, every once in a while, you know, I can get my poker face on, you know, being Lady Gaga.
Now, I don't even know how to play Texas Hold'em, but what is the skill level that makes you better than a whole bunch of others in that particular game?
I think especially in tournament play, it's more about patience and discipline. You know, I mean, everybody wants to be, you know, all braggadocio and bluff and be this kind of movie version of a poker player, but when it comes down to actually doing well in tournaments, man, it's just boring. It's a grind. They, you know, you can sit there for hours and then have 30 seconds of, you know, bone chilling adrenaline in a hand. So I think it's just it's about keeping your eye on the long game.
If you just joined us, we're talking to Lou Diamond Phillips. He's got a new film we'll talk about in a minute. So when you're playing Texas Hold'em, do you wear sunglasses?
No, I don't, because I can act, Mark. it's one of those where, you know, it's like, look in my eyes and tell me, am I bluffing?
That may make the promo right
there.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
All right, so Lou's got a brand new movie. It's called The Night Stalker. It airs this Sunday at 9 p.m. on Lifetime. But The Night Stalker is not the Darren McGavin movie from the 70s, which was great. Tell us about this film.
It's not the Kolchak. It's actually the real deal. I mean, people in Los Angeles will remember Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, who had a reign of terror in the summer of 85, ended up killing 14 people and traumatizing and injuring, you know, God, dozens more. This is a film that is a fictional setup wrapped around the reality of Ramirez. And I play Richard toward the end of his life. He actually died of lymphoma in prison in 2013, Bellamy Young from Scandal plays a lawyer in what is very much like a Silence of the Lambs kind of setup. She comes in and interviews me, hoping to get a confession that will exonerate one of her clients that's on death row. And in the process, we get a real peek into Richard's, you know, psychology and his psychosis, and we flash back to the crimes in '85 and how they affected Bellamy's character, you know, as a teenager, you know, kind of living through that really terrifying time.
First of all, hi, Mr. Diamond Phillips, huge fan.
Well, Diamond's actually my middle name, so yeah, you know, you can call me Lou. That'd be like,
oh, okay,
LDP,
okay,
you know,
Lou,
you're down with LDP.
Yeah, you know me. So a lot of times when, you know, because like you said, in '85, I mean, the entire city was terrified. I mean, everyone was you know, locking their doors and barring their windows at night because they were terrified of this person. And a lot of times too, when people are portraying real people in movies, they interview them, they talk with them. Did you have a chance to do that, or had you ever had any interaction? I don't know how far in advance you knew this film was going to be made.
Fortunately, I did have some time to do some research. I read Philip Carlo's book, The Night Stalker, which is, I mean, just brilliant. I mean, fascinating stuff. Really gives you an insight into how Richard became the Night Stalker in his mid-20s. You know, I mean, what crossroads he encountered, you know, growing up as a kid that you know, kind of put him in this place. Also, I had a great opportunity to get to know Detective Gil Carrillo, who was co-head of the task force that was hunting Richard. Oh, and Gil caught the guy. He put the cuffs on him and interviewed him a number of times in prison. So I was able to get a very, you know, firsthand account of what this guy was like. Not to mention the fact that there was some video, you know, of Richard. And so I was able to, you know, to listen to his speech patterns, his vocal quality, some of his idiosyncratic behavior. And you know, really try to recreate this guy. You know, I dropped about 20 pounds. I got down to 152 pounds. You know, we did the hair extensions. My wife Yvonne is a makeup artist. So Greg Cannon from the Face Off, you know, a special effects shop, made me some you know, fake teeth, because Richard was infamous for his teeth. And you know, I used some eye tapes to kind of pull back and to change the shape of my eyes to replicate Richard's a little bit more. So, you know, it was a very interesting transformation, because, you know, I wanted to basically, you know, kind of go down the same path that Charlize Theron did in her transformation to Eileen Warren.
Oh, yeah.
Know, to really,
Lou Diamond.
Yeah, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Lou Diamond Phillips and his new film, The Night Stalker, airs this Sunday night, 9 p.m. Lifetime. Lou, so great to catch up with you, brother.
Mark, so great to talk to you, and I hope to be in studio with you sometime very, very soon.
Yay!
You simply let me know. I'd love to have you, man. So this week, we've kind of been all about this pink drink from Starbucks. It's a secret menu drink. Everybody's been trying it. We had some listeners try it here on the show. One girl reported that it was just too sweet. She handed it back. And then another girl said it was awesome. So this morning at around 7:15, right here at 5900 Wilshire Boulevard, you can join Chick on the Street. She'll be out back of the radio station. Again, 5900 Wilshire on Ogden. On Ogden, it's right in the back. You're going to be able to try, and you won't know which ones you're drinking. You can try the pink drink from Starbucks. Lisa Lillian from Hungry Girl has taken the pink drink, figured out what they put in it, and is going to present this morning a healthy version of the pink drink. And then the other one is strawberry.
I got a
block on that.
That's the greatest. Well, so you know what Josh the Fleeganator wanted to do, which I think somebody would end up owning our radio station. He goes, why don't we just fill one cup with Pepto? Can't go to the bathroom for 2 weeks and you don't know why.
So come on down if you want to meet Chick on the Street. I think Danny's going to be down there. Mike will be down there. It'll be Facebook Live. Come down this morning by 7:15, 5900 Wilshire Boulevard. It is on Ogden, right behind the radio station. Big, tall, 30-story building. The topic today is, what did you buy when you were drunk? And whether or not you regret it. I'll go ahead and share mine. I wasn't drunk, but I was stoned. I used to work 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And so I quite literally lived a life. Did you know that there is a whole sector of people that stay up all night? And then they're like vampires. They live at night.
Huh.
And I fell in with that crowd. Anyway, I'm at home. It's like 3 in the morning. And this was before the internet. During late night, they still have these infomercials.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm sitting there staring at the television, and there's an infomercial on. And in my stonedness, I had to have a safe. And I got on the phone and ordered it.
Wait a second. A safe, like a gun safe, a document safe. A safe.
Big, heavy. I bought it. It was like $50. I had to have it.
Was the shipping and handling like $400? It's a very heavy item.
I think it was one of those that if you call in the next 10 minutes, shipping is free.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So in my stoned world, this is perfect. I must have this because I had accumulated a few things that my birth certificate, whatever.
Sure.
And they were just laying in a drawer.
Yeah.
So in my stonedness, I bought that safe, forgot that I had ordered it until it showed up on my door. And I do not regret it. I've got it to this day. It was small, but I put all my papers in it, and I don't regret it at all.
Wow. That's amazing. So you're the one guy that bought something when you were messed up that thought it was the perfect purchase and still does.
I had no buyer's remorse. It fit my, I only had a few papers, but they were important, and I locked them away.
That's amazing. I don't have too many stories, but one of my favorites, because one of my best friends used to do this all the time. He would get super drunk and just Jones for Carl's Jr., but he wouldn't be able to get there, so he'd call a cab and have him take him through the drive-thru, and he said, you can have anything you want. You want anything you want. And then he'd just take him home, and they would both eat the Carl's Jr. in the car, and he'd go back to sleep.
So, if you have something, what did you buy when you were drunk? 888-696-1003. Plus, you need to call right now for five seconds for $35. Now, this earthquake we had last night, what was the size of it?
5.2. Pretty significant. Except it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. Borrego Springs, which is, I think, just northeast of San Diego.
Gina, were you here in Southern California in 94?
No.
6.9.
Yeah, my dad had just moved here, and he had significant PTSD for months after that. Very, very scary.
Dude, I have never, it was 4:30 in the morning. I was in the shower and it started. And it started with a jolt. I was immediately thrown out of the shower. The only way that I can equate it is it was like a giant monster picked up our house and shook it like this.
Oh my God.
So I'm in midair being thrown out of the shower. The power goes out. I ran into the bedroom. Linda and I slammed into each other, and I stepped on something. I found out later it was the plant we had in the bedroom had fallen. Oh, it was huge.
Oh, God.
So I go. Linda went and got Matt and Amy. I went to get Katie, which, by the way, I had to wake her up. She slept through the whole thing.
That's a superpower.
And we're downstairs, and we're sitting under an archway in the kitchen, and it was 30 minutes before I realized I was standing before my kids completely naked with soap all over my body. I had no idea. And dude, with a 6.9, the aftershocks were unreal.
Yeah, this sounds horrible, and they say we're due for one. I know they always say that, but man, I'm not looking forward to this.
All right, one quick story. We had, I don't know what you call it. It was a big piece of furniture in the dining room where we kept our china.
Uh-huh.
China
cabinet.
Right. It had fallen over and landed on the top of a chair. So it was sitting at an angle like this.
Uh-huh.
The china was inside of it, unbroken. I had several people come over and try to figure it out. There was no way that we could get into the china cabinet without lifting it up.
Right.
We had to let up, and all the china just crashed down to the floor and broke every one of them.
That sucks.
Well, so does China. Who freaking needs $10,000 worth of stupid china?
I was kind of thinking that while you were telling the story.
I don't even know why we had it, but we did. We don't anymore, thanks to a 6.9 earthquake.
5 seconds for $35.
Oh, my God. It's huge. It's so big that I'm nervous.
Really? Are you sweating a little bit?
5 seconds for $35. You can feel the drama here. We're going to go to stupid old Jeremy. He's calling from Temple City. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you?
Really good. How are you?
I'm great.
I've got a feeling I've spoken to you before.
I spoke with you on Mark and Brian years ago. It hasn't been recent.
Okay. Did I enjoy the conversation?
I promise you he doesn't remember that. He was just taking a shot in the dark.
Oh, I know he doesn't remember that. He wouldn't remember if I spoke to him yesterday.
It's true. Yeah. Sad. Jeremy, how old are you?
I am 39.
Dude, you sound like you're 18.
Oh, well, thank you.
What do you do for a living?
I'm an engineer at Disneyland.
Ooh, you're an Imagineer?
No. I'm an engineer. Oh, okay, I work at the hotel.
Oh, all right.
You like that job?
I do, very much.
So, you have kids?
I have one child.
How old?
He's 11, and he is my favorite.
Oh, good. You gonna have any more?
No. We're gonna stay with the one.
Is something wrong with your junk?
No. We had other issues that were going on that we tried to work through, but it didn't happen. So we're gonna be happy with the one we got.
Okay. You still like your wife?
very much.
Okay. How long you been married?
We're going to be celebrating 19 years in December.
Congratulations.
All right. Thank now, you. I've been married 34. 19 is a full strong, and you said you really like her. What has been for you, because marriage is her work, what has been the secret that you are still in love with your wife after 19 years?
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly on the communication aspect of it. You've got to just constantly stay in touch because people change over the years. And if you stay in contact and keep communicating, then you at least know where each other's coming from. And then we also treat it fairly. You know, you don't go into a marriage. We don't argue. We disagree about things, but we talk things out rationally. Because if you go into a disagreement as a fight, like you're trying to win, nobody ends up winning no matter what. So it's about the communication, really.
Did all of you? That was perfect.
Yeah.
That is exact. And if you have an open communication, then you don't start going different directions. He just said it. You'll disagree, but you at least know where each other stands. And if you do that, you will not wake up one day and realize you're looking at a stranger across from breakfast. All right. I've spent enough time wasting with you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
I'm now going to ask you a question. $35 hangs on the balance. The entire city's talking about it. If you answer it, you get $35. If you don't, Monday will be worth $40. Jeremy, you've got 5 seconds to answer it. Do you completely understand how this very, very complicated game works?
100% I get it.
Here we go. Your question is, what is both the fifth book of the Old Testament and an old character in the musical Cats?
Five, Deuteronomy.
Jeremy has just won $35. Now, did you know the answer to that question because of the Bible or because of the musical Cats?
I'm a musical theater geek. I knew it because of the musical.
Yeah. I was going to say Mr. Mistopheles, so I'm glad you answered, Jeremy.
Yeah, I would say, is it Mungo Jerry or the Book of Rumpelteazer? Can't remember.
Hey, Jeremy, I thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. Thank you for listening all these years, my friend.
Thank you very much. I've always enjoyed your comedy. I love your new show. Gina's fantastic. The whole thing's really great. I'm loving it.
Thank you, Jeremy. We are joined by senior editor for Rotten Tomatoes, Matt Atchity. Matt, I'm sorry we're short on time, but let's talk about the most important. I am a gigantic horror film. The first Conjuring was so freaking good. It's in my top 15. And today we've got Conjuring 2. Please tell me it's great.
It is great. Scare the pants off you, man. It's so, so good.
Does it walk hand in hand with the first one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are back. You still kind of care about these characters. And this is another haunted house story, this time set in England. Early on, we get a little bit of them kind of dealing with the Amityville house.
Mm.
And it's so scary for them that it actually kind of scares them out of the business, and they think that they're going to retire. And then they kind of get drawn back into this family that needs help in England. And this movie is scary.
I can't wait. What's the tomato meter on it?
74%, Ooh. Which is really, really high for a movie like this.
All right, let's talk about the steaming pile of garbage that is Now You See Me 2.
Do we have to? Here's my recommendation. Now You Don't See It.
Yeah,
this movie's terrible. The first one's not that great. You know, it had an audience, but the first one does the same thing this one does, which is they use special effects to do all these tricks, and you kind of don't care.
Yeah.
And this one's got so many twists and turns in it, you kind of stop paying attention because it stops making sense.
What's the tomato meter on it?
35%.
Okay. And you didn't see Warcraft.
Oh,
but
no, I did see Warcraft.
Oh, you did?
I did. So, I've played games like this in the past. I've read books like this, and most importantly, I had a couple of very, very strong drinks before I went into the screening. I kind of liked it. So my ultimate recommendation is, if you're a gamer, and if you know this kind of material, don't see it sober. Which is probably most movies, but yeah, this one definitely benefited from the movie equivalent of beer goggles. But most of the critics don't like it. It's only 24%. If you've never played these games, you're going to be lost. But for those people that are listening that have played these games, they're going to love it.
Well, obviously, Matt, you're a movie guy. I can tell you, a part of it is because I'm a huge Matthew McConaughey fan, but the other part is I'm really intrigued by this movie that's coming up with Matt in it.
Oh, which one are you talking about?
The one where they it's like in the 1800s where they leave the army and they build their own army.
Yeah. Right.
Free State of Jones.
Yeah, that's
going to be real interesting. Yeah, I think that's going to be a solid movie.
Matt Atchity is a senior editor for Rotten Tomatoes. Matt, thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to be checking in with Chick on the Street. We're all about this pink drink from Starbucks. She's downstairs. She'll be sampling three. But our topic today is, what did you buy when you were drunk? I bought a safe. I was stoned, but I bought a safe. I didn't regret it. Let's go to Gail from Camarillo. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning. How are you?
Really good. What did you buy when drunk?
I went to Las Vegas with my friends and got really drunk, went back up to the room, got on the phone, and ordered all the Danish that the hotel had, and they delivered it to the room. It was everywhere, stacked like three deep on plates, on the floor, on the bed, on the floor in the bed. It was everywhere, and I proceeded to pass out, and my friends came back into the room later on, and they're like, what the heck? Where did Danish come from? It ended up being like $500 the next day on the bill.
Oh, God.
Now,
I
have to wonder what in your I realize you're drunk, but what in your mind did you think that you needed 500 Danish pastries?
I think I was a little hungry. I was just a little bit on the hungry side.
That's fantastic.
The next morning I woke up, I'm not kidding, the smell of the Danish was so awful because I was so hungover that I was like, get it out, but I was throwing up.
God.
Gail, that is great. Thank you. Let's go to Mike. He's calling right here from L.A. Mike, what did you buy when you were drunk?
I decided I needed to buy $400 worth of adult toys off of Amazon for my wife.
At least you're generous.
So let me ask, did she wind up using any of them?
We've used some. This wasn't not too long ago, so we haven't got through the plethora of toys.
Well, you know what? The ones that she doesn't like, send them to us. There's always Gina.
When this hustling, bustling, gritty city sometimes gets you down. Hey, what a treat to meet the chick on the street. You never know what she might say.
I ain't gonna cuss, bitch.
It's Katie, and it's gonna be a great day.
Now, we are all about this pink drink from Starbucks. It's a secret menu item. And what happened is Lisa Lillian of Hungry Girl took the pink drink, found out how they made it, and she has made a healthy version. So we have the pink drink from Starbucks, we have the healthy version from Hungry Girl, and we have pink
strawberry quick.
Yeah.
You just can't get there.
All right, so we go to Chick on the Street. She's got some folks downstairs behind the building. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. All right, so I got my three pink drinks, and I have Craig here. Are you ready, Craig?
I think so.
Okay. All right, so step around to the table, if you will. Please pick up cup A and take a sip. That would be this one. Yeah, sorry.
This is dangerous, Katie.
Take a good sip of that.
Right, here we go.
Cup A being sipped. Wandering look on his face as he tastes it in his mouth, as he swishes it around like a good wine.
Which she doesn't drink.
Right.
That's quick.
Okay. All right, now let's go with cup B, please. Have a taste of that. About to take it. We have a lovely bus in the background as noise. Go ahead, take a sip. Swishing it around again. Giving it a good swish. Maybe if we just swallow it. Okay, great. All right, so let's move on to the next one.
What did he think of that one?
Did you like that one? Cup B?
It's a bit bitter.
Yeah. It's a bit bitter? Ooh. Bitter?
It's a bit bitter. I don't know. I mean, yeah. It's more natural tasting, obviously.
Mm. Okay, now let's try cup C.
Anything's bitter next to strawberry quick.
That's true. Giving it the good old swish, the wandering look.
Okay, that one's a bit sour. It's natural.
So if you had to pick your top one that you want to drink a whole bottle of, what you gonna pick?
I'd have to go with C.
C. So C, you picked the. He picked the healthy alternative one.
Oh, the Hungry Girl pink
the
drink.
The Hungry nice. Girl one. So this is the Hungry Girl one. This is the healthy version of the Starbucks one. The Starbucks one is the one that you thought was bitter. So what about it was bitter? What about it did you not like?
It was just, wasn't easy to swallow. It wasn't easy to go down. So
yeah.
And what was the first thing that you thought of when you woke up this morning?
You guys are crazy.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Right, so right when you wake up, Mark in the Morning is playing.
Absolutely. I'm rocking this. What you?
He does. He has on a marvelous. Give us a twirl, please. He has on a wonderful Mark in the Morning shirt and leather jacket.
Oh,
it's really
yeah.
just stunning. It's and then the other one that you drank was Nesquik.
Yes.
Some strawberry Nesquik. So here is a sticker and a pink penguin for you. Thank you so much for coming by.
If you want to see Katie, we're going to do this again in about 30 minutes. We're at 5900 Wilshire. She is behind the radio station. 5900 Wilshire is a 30-story tall white building.
It says SBE at the top between La Brea and Fairfax.
And Chick on the Street is directly behind that on Ogden. So head down and check it out. Gina is going to love this. Jacob Toulman, a 6-year-old from California, reads to shelter dogs every week at the Carson Animal Shelter as part of a group called Rescue Readers. But the animals aren't the only ones who have been helped by the story. You see, Jacob has autism. And since he started with the program, his reading skills have greatly improved, and Jacob has been able to remain more relaxed than ever while reading to dogs.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Everybody wins except us who's listening to the Christmas dogs.
Gina, you remember the guy that called yesterday, Ken? It was his birthday?
Oh, of course, yeah.
And I asked him if he was going to get laid. He's back on the phone. We're going to find out, did Ken get laid for his birthday?
Perfect.
Everybody's talking about it. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Gray.
Obama has officially endorsed Hillary Clinton for president, dealing a blow to gun supporters. A federal appeals court ruled that Americans do not have a constitutional right to carry concealed weapons in public. This could ultimately go to the Supreme Court. And Johnny Depp is auctioning off millions of dollars worth of paintings ahead of his potential pricey divorce with Amber Heard. Wow. I'm Gina Grad, and Trending is brought to you by Subaru. Help them feed SoCal this month by donating non-perishable items to your local Subaru retailer. Coming up, we find out if Ken got laid.
And 6 reasons today doesn't suck.
Perfect. Oh, first, the cars. I like it. This is Mark in the Morning.
And now, 6 reasons. 6 reasons today doesn't suck.
1.
It was on this day, back in 2007, The Sopranos comes to an end.
Mm.
Not with a bang, but by fading to black in a New Jersey diner. I've never seen one episode.
What? Okay, you know what, Mark? Not only is it pretty much the top 5 at least greatest TV series ever made. I've seen it. I've seen the entire series 8 times.
Wow.
You're going to need to watch it because you're going to need to get real familiar with New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place in New Jersey, and your in-laws are from New Jersey.
I told you, when I went to New Jersey, it was my first time. I felt like I was in the Sopranos episode.
You have to watch it.
I really did.
2.
Now, this is weird. On the morning after we had an earthquake last night, it was on this day in 1987. Oh, is it too loud?
Yes.
That's an actual earthquake.
Yeah, it sounds like one.
It was on this day in 1987, an earthquake hits 15 states from Iowa to South Carolina.
Lord.
Can you imagine?
No.
That big, and it rumbles 15 states.
No.
Crazy nuts.
3.
Supermodel turned actress Kate Upton is 24 today. 2 questions, Gina. Before she began modeling, Kate Upton was nationally ranked in what sport?
High-a-lie.
Equestrian events. Horses.
Wow.
Imagine those boobs bouncing on a horse.
I won't. Mm.
Kate Upton's great-grandfather made a fortune founding what well-known brand that is in millions of American kitchens?
Ron Popeil Ronco's food dehydrator.
Whirlpool.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Four.
Today is National Iced Tea Day, and nobody loves tomorrow more than my wife. Saturday is National Corn on the Cob Day.
Delish. Roasted on the, you grill it up?
We boil it first, and then I get it a little
nice
burn
and,
marks
yeah.
on the... Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff.
Five.
It was on this day back in 1965, the very first Subway sandwich shop opens.
Six.
And it was on this day in what year, Gina, the first witch is hanged in Salem, Massachusetts?
Oh, I'm bad at this. 16 or 17? 16? 14, my 15. I feel like I'm playing Price is Right. Upper, higher, is the Rice-A-Roni more? I'm going to go 1602.
1692.
Okay, all right, only 90 years off.
And dude, I got to tell you, if you and Tim are ever on the East Coast and you're near Salem, Massachusetts, you got to do yourself a favor and head up to Salem. Linda and I did it on Halloween weekend.
Oh, nice.
They have a museum. It was so awesome.
I love that.
Nothing will put you in the mood for Halloween more than that, guaranteed. Six Reasons Today Doesn't Suck is brought to you by Bristol Farms, their best tasting, freshest food. And yes, I remember.
You did it.
All right. So yesterday we get a phone call from Ken. It was his birthday. He turned 61. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. How are you doing, Mark?
Really good. Now, I said to all my ladies, when it's your guy's birthday, your husband or your boyfriend, when it's his birthday, yeah, presents and cakes and cards, whatever. The one thing he wants is to get laid. And Ken said yesterday that he hoped he would. And I told him, a guy's birthday is the one day that you can say, get your clothes off and get in the bed. I may be in there in a minute. I may not. The one day that you can demand it. So, Ken, everyone's listening. For your 61st birthday, did you get laid?
Okay. Well, I didn't demand it because I knew better. And I also played the podcast for her so she heard you. And yes, we did. And we had a very nice time. And your name did not come up.
Yay! That's the best part.
No, but do you know what he did?
One.
He used what I said on this show to guarantee it. Because there's no way she's going to listen to that and not do it.
Yeah, but it's diabolical because he made you take the fall for it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ken, was it good or just the same old crap?
Oh, no, it's always good. We've had all of our 34 years, it's always been good. It's been great.
Well,
Ken, we can't let you go yet because I swear I remember you saying yesterday that you once got beat up by Chuck Norris and you were going to tell us about that.
I did. Actually, twice.
What?
Back when I was a young teenager, 14, 15 years old, I lived in the San Fernando Valley. Chuck Norris, before he got into the movies and TV, owned a chain of karate schools in the valley. And he would once in a while come through and give open houses and have family come in and everything, he would need someone to practice with, give a demonstration with. I was one of the students, and a couple of times he grabbed me up there and gave a demonstration and pretty much kicked my butt.
That's awesome.
Now, Ken, I want you to call next week because you told us that you met Elvis Presley and Priscilla.
Right. I saw Elvis and I met Priscilla. But
okay. Then next week, call. I want that story. Okay, Ken?
Okay, you got it. Thanks, Mark. I love listening to you guys. You're all great. You're entertaining. Everybody's, even Danny's funny on occasion. I just love you guys.
Well, you're kind. And again, congratulations on getting laid, but you're not the only one banging your wife. I've had her so many times.
Oh, my God.
So many
Mark,
embarrassing
ways,
Ken.
It was
ways,
his
Ken.
Birthday.
I'm sorry. I haven't had her that many times, couple at tops. I genuinely, no kidding, have a distaste for you because I have to sit here and wait for the end of every note.
Her whistles.
Dude, I feel like it's FM college in the 70s.
That whistle was pure art.
Hillary Clinton clinched the Democratic nomination this week, and we have her husband, former President Bill Clinton, on the phone to talk about it. Thanks for calling in, Bill.
Well, thank you for having me, Mark, and I am so happy for Hillary.
Well, I'm sure you are, and I bet you're excited that she's going to be out campaigning until November, huh?
Why would I be excited about that?
Well, you know, because you'll have the house all to yourself, wink, wink.
Oh, I see what you're doing. You're trying to make a joke about how I intend to cheat on my wife while she's out of the house on the campaign trail. Is that it?
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, don't be sorry. That's real good stuff, Mark. Top-notch comedy. No, pure gold. Not an obvious comedic angle at all. You should be very proud of what you've done here today.
All right, let's move on.
Sounds good. Yes, I'm very excited for Hillary. She put in a lot of hard work, and I'm sorry, Mark. It's just the most obvious joke. Hey, Bill Clinton liked to get it on with interns. Now that his wife's out of the house, he's going to be up to his old tricks again. Listen to me. I'm almost 70 years old, Mark. I can't even get off the toilet without a three-pronged plan. Now, that scandal took place in 1998, 18 years ago. You going to make a joke about an apple falling on Isaac Newton's head, too? It's unbelievable.
Lord, look, I didn't write this bit, okay? We have a comedy writer on staff who does that.
And you allowed that lame joke to invade your poor listeners' ear holes?
I don't read the scripts before we go on the air because I like to be surprised by the jokes.
Oh, we were surprised by the joke, Mark. We were all unpleasantly surprised. It sounds to me like this writer of yours purposely had you read a terrible played-out joke about my past philandering because he thought it would be funny to hear you embarrass yourself for his own sick amusement.
I'm not sure that's true, Mr. President.
You don't think it's risky to read something on the air without proofing it first? But that's a lot of freedom that you're giving to one of your employees. Aren't you scared that one day he'll become drunk with power, the power you've bestowed upon him, and turn on you?
Not really at all. He's a good guy. I, on the other hand, am a dumb butt face with a butt face like a butt.
Really?
And I like to smell butts, and I wish my hands were butts so I could more easily smell butts.
Wow. I think you need to have a chat with the writer, Mark.
I agree. I'm going to chat with him about how big a raise I'm going to give him because he's the greatest writer ever. All right, back to smelling butts and wishing my hands were butts.
Uh-huh. Bye, Mark.
Please call me Mr. Butt.
He got you!
Bye, Mr. Butt.
Oh, good.
Oh, that is so good because I do not read the scripts ahead of time. And our writer took advantage of that to make me say a bunch of butts. Yeah. That is hysterical. Eric, were you just sitting there waiting for it to happen?
I was waiting. I couldn't wait.
That's great.
Turn on page two. It's going to be great.
Now, Eric, your daughter fell down at the playground, broke her arm, and had to have surgery. Is she doing okay?
She's doing great. She gets the cast off next week. And she actually has field day today at school, which is like a bunch of relay races and stuff.
Oh, goody.
And I think they're going to let her run. So, hey, there you go. Hey,
Eric, you and the family have a great weekend, my friend.
You too. Thanks, Mark.
Down in Florida.
Residents of, hang on, I got to wipe the tears out of my eyes. Can't see the words. God, that was good. Residents of Lakeland, Florida are at odds over the name of a local lake that has been drawing laughs and snickers for years. The small body of water at the center of the disagreement is Lake Horney. It's named for Julius Teague Horney, a builder who helped develop Lakeland in the 20s. But one resident is sick and tired of hearing all the lewd jokes and wants the town to change the name. The federal agency is waiting for city officials to offer their opinion, but the city manager believes that more than half of the town's residents are in favor of keeping Lake Horney.
It's their Bodie McBoat face.
It is. And right next to Lake Horney is River Screw. So, oh, hang on. All right, Hungry Girl.
Lisa Lillian.
Yes, Hungry Girl Lisa Lillian. We have been all about the pink drink from Starbucks. Chick on the Street was sampling it with listeners earlier. And Lisa, happy to say that the drink that you concocted was his favorite.
That is awesome, I heard, and I was very proud.
Now, this pink drink, it's a secret menu item, and therefore, we were trying to figure out how many calories is in it, because somebody on the show had said that it was so very sweet. You got it and took it back to your kitchen and found out how they put it together. First of all, what is in the Starbucks version?
So, in the Starbucks version is the base that they use for the strawberry acai refresher. But instead of mixing it with water like they would normally do, they mix it with coconut milk.
Oh,
okay. So it's half base and half coconut milk. And so the calorie counts are between 1 and 200, depending on the size that you get there.
Well, that's not too bad then.
Well, it's not too bad, but when you compare it to ours, which has less than half the calories, it's much better, right?
How many likes yours, how many calories does yours have?
Well, the Grande there has 130, and ours, which is the size of the Grande, has only 50.
Whoa!
Now, what goes into yours?
Yeah, and the key, okay, so we tried everything. You need to get that strawberry base right, because it's not just flat sweet, it's a little bit tart. And so we use the Lipton Strawberry Acai Iced Green Tea Mix Powder. So you use about a half a packet of that, and then 4 ounces of So Delicious coconut milk, and then freeze-dried strawberries. But the funny thing is, you have to get the right coconut milk, because if you get different coconut milks of different colors, and so you might end up with a purple drink if you get the wrong coconut milk, which I thought was really funny.
So, Lisa, tell everybody, some who may want to get involved, exactly what is Hungry Girl and what does it do?
Hungry Girl is started out as a free daily email service, and that's the heart and soul of what I do. I send daily emails every single day. Today's email actually has the pink drink in it with a great recipe, so you can see that there. But every single day, Monday to Friday, if you sign up, you get free daily emails. I also have 11 books out, so you can get Hungry Girl in the form of books as well.
And by the way, Lisa's being humble. Many of these are bestsellers, correct?
Yeah, actually all of them
are.
Yeah.
She knows from a few things. My mom is her biggest fan. I'm her second biggest fan. I get the email every day.
Well, Lisa, we will have you back in very, very soon, because we're coming up on 4th of July, and we ought to put together a nice round of healthy snacks and things you can eat for the 4th.
Yes, I will bring them in for you to sample.
Lisa, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for making a healthy pink drink.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
Bye.
You too. Now, Gina has been bugging me.
Well, that's the end of the sentence.
About this video that she has found. She calls it the worst video in history.
It's pretty terrible.
And we're going to post it, but tell everybody what it is that has caught your attention.
All right. I was just tooling around the internet, minding my own damn business, when this song came up. Apparently, it's 4 years old, and it's still many people's number one choice for worst song and worst video ever. It's called Chew Chew Chewing Gum, and I'm so sorry. Here we go.
I am a devil, the Prada doesn't turn me on. I am an angel, my secret from Victoria.
Katie's dancing.
Everybody wanna taste me, but I am not that easy to please. So pick your hopes and get back home. Oh, you think you all know
she
me.
Is dancing up a storm.
What a jam!
You can't dance.
Now, out of interest, how many views has this video had?
Hundreds of thousands.
And so people are enjoying the suck? Is that what it is?
I think so. It reminds, you know, I think it has that Friday Rebecca Black vibe that it just gets stuck in your head and it's so bad it's good. Chew, chew, chewing gum. So that is our, instead of our gift to you, that is our punishment to you today. That is off on Mark in the Morning Facebook.
Tell you what, in the future, if I'm on the phone with somebody and they piss me off, I'm going to play this.
Yay!
Oh, yeah, Justin. Oh, now, did we ever find the video of this?
It's also up on Mark in the Morning Facebook.
Okay. Justin Bieber blew into Cleveland to take in Game 3 of the NBA Finals on Wednesday, and things quickly blew up when he got into a short but not so sweet fist fight outside of his hotel. TMZ captured some grainy footage of the Biebs starting a verbal dispute with a much bigger dude, then flipping out when the guy tossed a playful punch at him. Justin let loose with a hard right that didn't seem to have much effect on the bodyguard-sized stranger, who quickly knocked the singer to the ground. The whole thing lasted less than a minute, but Bieber clearly lost this one by TKO.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but let this play as a nice palate cleanser.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport.
the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Todd, I wasn't even aware that the Stanley Cup playoffs were happening, but apparently they are.
Yeah, they are, Mark. Come on, you know the Stanley Cup playoffs are happening.
I really do. I don't. Yeah.
And San Jose beat Pittsburgh 4-2 last night. Martin Jones, 44 saves. Game 6 on Sunday. Pittsburgh still leads the series 3-2. But, of course, the big news in hockey this morning, Mark, is that Gordie Howe passed away. Mr. Hockey died at the age of 88 this morning. He was Wayne Gretzky's idol growing up. When Wayne Gretzky broke all of the National Hockey League records, the records he broke were Gordie Howe's. He still holds the record for most games and most seasons played. But the amazing thing about Gordie Howe is that he played 36 seasons over 5 decades.
Good Lord.
When he was 52 years old, he played for the Hartford Whalers. And the Whalers are now, I believe, what, the Nashville team. But he played for the Hartford. Maybe they're the Carolina Panthers. What's the Carolina?
Hurricane.
Hurricane, yeah, I'm not sure. But the WHA, he was 52 years old. He played with his sons, Mark and Marty. But I remember a picture of him on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He was at his locker, shirtless, 52 years old. He was chiseled
wow.
at 52 years old. As they said, he had the sharpest elbows in the game, and they coined, of course, we all know a hat trick is 3 goals in a game, but then there was a thing called a Gordie Howe hat trick. A Gordie Howe hat trick was a goal, assist, and a fight all in the same game. You know what I mean? Because that's the type of player he was. And rest in peace, Gordie Howe. And how ironic that, the greatest boxer of all time, Muhammad Ali, dies last Friday. And Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey, dies today. Okay, moving on to basketball. Cleveland will host Golden State tonight, game 4 of the NBA Finals. Let's see if we can get a game that has less than a 30-point spread at the end, you know? Let's just have a nice game tonight, for crying out loud.
That's going to happen. Steph Curry will find his game. It's going to happen.
Well, and wouldn't it be great if you could have Steph Curry and LeBron both having great games in the same game? Then that's an instant classic.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Lakers worked out and met with probably their first-round pick. It's going to be Brandon Ingram. I'm going to guess Ben Simmons is going to go first, and then Brandon Ingram is going to go second with the Lakers. But they wined him and dined him and worked him out this week. In baseball, wow, the Angels got swept. A 4-game sweep. The Yankees beat them 6-3. You know, I'll bet this 4-game sweep right here, the Yankees are now 30-30. They got off to a bad start. You watch. They're going to come on strong, and they'll look back at that 4-game sweep over the Angels as what catapulted them back into contention. And I think the Angels might say the downfall of our season came that 4-game sweep against the Yankees. That's we started into our tailspin. Maybe they can pull out of it. We'll have to wait and see. Royals and Orioles, remember that brawl they had? Well, Yordano Ventura got 9-game suspension. Ooh. Manny Machado got 4 games. The reason Ventura gets more is he's a starting pitcher. So, I mean, if you give a guy a 2-game suspension, then you say, okay, fine, he's suspended for 2 games, he's resting anyway. So a pitcher's got to get a little bit more. Angels draft, they had the baseball draft, and it's hard to follow the baseball draft because we really don't watch these players in college or other places, but the Angels drafted a catcher, Matt Tice from Virginia, and Brandon Marsh, an outfielder from Georgia, and the Dodgers got a shortstop, Gavin Lux from Wisconsin, and I love the name, Will Smith, a catcher from Louisville, and of course we know that Will Smith today, the actor Will Smith, is in Louisville as a pallbearer for Muhammad Ali's funeral. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I just realized that, actually. NFL news. I got a couple of quarterback news here. First, Colin Kaepernick. We knew this was going to happen, Mark. We talked about this. Colin Kaepernick is now saying, I'm happy to be with the 49ers. You're darn right you ought to be happy because no other team wanted you, and you got yourself a coach that may use your talents in Chip Kelly, right?
Yep.
I mean, come on. And you talked about it a little bit earlier, too. Cam Newton, the new touchdown celebration. He says, I'm going to have a new touchdown celebration this year. He's retiring the dab. Kind of looks like, the dab kind of looked like a matador over a bull. But
I think it looks like a Dracula sneeze when you're supposed to sneeze into your elbow.
Sneeze in your elbow, exactly. But anyway, Cam's going to come up with a new celebration, touchdown celebration. And the Muhammad Ali funeral will take place later today, actually 11 a.m. Los Angeles time. The 19-mile funeral procession is going on right now, as a matter of fact, through all the neighborhoods, past his old high school, his gym, his house. And, of course, Billy Clinton, Brian Gumbel, and Billy Crystal will deliver eulogies at the public service at the KFC Yum Center later today. Private burial at Cave Hill Cemetery. And what other famous Kentuckian is buried at Cave Hill Cemetery?
Hmm.
Colonel Sanders.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
How about that?
The real deal.
There you go. That does it for sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota. Hey, check them out this weekend. Great weekend to buy a car. Go see Joe Caso at Bob Corson, 0% APR, Camrys and Corollas, FrontierToyota.com.
Coming up at 8:20, you hate to hear it. Now, my people, periodically, a story comes along that, due to its nature, you are riveted to hearing it. But you actually hate to hear it. A British woman suffering from a nagging headache finally went to the doctor to get checked out and was horrified by what they found. The pain in her head was not caused by stress or a cold or even swimmer's ear. It was caused by a very hairy spider that had crawled inside her head.
What?
Victoria Price began to notice pain shortly after going for a swim at the beach and thought she might have some sort of ear infection. She asked her husband to look inside her ear. He saw something move. They went to the doctor, who confirmed that a spider had made itself a home deep inside her ear canal. A nurse was able to remove the arachnid, still alive, and luckily caused no damage to the eardrum. Now the concern is, did the spider lay eggs?
No, no, no. God. Mark, this had a happy ending. They got the spider out. I can't hear that last sentence. What if it's true? What if it's true? Oh my God, I live on the beach, Mark.
If it's true, then she'll have 10 baby spiders crawling around in her head. This has been You Hate to Hear It. No one enjoys delivering these more than I. No one.
You're horrible.
I didn't write the story. I just delivered it.
Why did you have to leave it like, and she's dead, or is she? That horrible ending with maybe she has 18,000 spider babies in her ear? I'm going to freak out.
I love this about Gina. Whenever she hears something that she can't deal with, I love her reaction. No, 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 no.
Physically no. Have to take the headphones off. So gross, dude.
All right. So now I saw this and you know, I was trying to help out Mikey, who sometimes doesn't have a Mike TV. And I sent it to him and he had a great one that he went this morning, but we have time. And the reason that I enjoyed it so much was how good it sounds.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And so, yeah, what Mark was talking about was on the Jimmy Kimmel show, Live with Jimmy Kimmel, they had the Ghostbusters cast. They had the old original cast with Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, and then they had the new cast with, you know, Kate McKinnon and Kristen Wiig. And Ray Parker Jr. came out, and they did the Ghostbusters song.
Now, Jimmy Kimmel's band is known to be one of the best bands working.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're great. And so Ray Parker is playing guitar and singing, and Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy, they're all dancing along, having a good time. So picture all that while this is happening.
Strange in the neighborhood, who you gonna call? Ghostbusters! If something weird and it don't look good,
So I'll post that whole thing up on Mark in the Morning's Facebook page in a few seconds. There you
Bill Murray was dancing his ass off.
Yeah, there's your Mike TV.
Sit, Boo Boo, sit. Good dog.
Are you a fan of Donald Trump? Are you looking for someone else who shares your passion for the Donald? Well, you're in luck, because now there is a dating site for Trump supporters. 35-year-old David Gross created the dating site TrumpSingles.com because he says he had a hard time dating with what he calls the special stigma of being a Trump supporter. The site is free to join, but as with any other dating site, if you want fancier messaging options, it's $4.95 a month. The site already has 500 members, and the motto, and you're going to love this, make dating great again.
Does Donald know about this?
I'm sure he does.
I'm on the website right now, and it's intriguing.
So look, I mean, I guess there's probably a dating site for almost any topic that you could come up with.
Well, remember, we also have Maple Match, which is if you're not a Trump supporter and Trump wins, you can go date someone in Canada. So now the world is balanced again.
Let us find out what is trending. Gina Gray.
Well, federal meteorologists say that El Nino season is officially over. USA Today and the Wall Street Journal released reports documenting Donald Trump's alleged failures to pay his bills. Trump fired back saying, quote, I pay thousands of bills on time, and this is disgusting. Ali himself, Muhammad Ali, planned out all the details of his funeral long before his death, envisioning a time of celebration and inclusion. The ceremony began yesterday with a Muslim prayer service, and the funeral procession is being live streamed today, so that's all going on. I'm Gina Grad, and Trending is brought to you by Subaru. Help them feed SoCal this month by donating non-perishable items to your local Subaru retailer. Coming up, we have a good old-fashioned Tupperware party with Miss Kay Sadia. But first, Van Halen, this is Mark in the Morning.
So, we welcome to the program, and you may have heard of her before, Kay. First name, last name, Sadia. Kay Sadia. This young lady does something brilliant. She puts on, and I've never seen it, but I've heard about it. So, Kay, you, by the way, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Mike.
So, you put on shows where you are a drag queen and you're dressed up, and you put on these shows that are hysterical, and you sell Tupperware.
I do indeed. I'm one of the top-selling Tupperware consultants in all of the United States and Canada. That's a different country.
Now, I have to say that this is, in my mind, in the world of entertainment, this is brilliant because it is so original. You are a drag queen.
Uh-huh.
You're hysterical.
Uh-huh.
And you're one of the top-selling Tupperware salesmen in the company.
Don't forget sexy. Don't forget
you.
Sexy.
Thank you, Gina.
Sexy.
You forgot sexy. But that is very true. And, you know, I wish I could say that I came up with the idea. There was a queen before me that started doing it. And as I started performing and getting my way through Hollywood in clubs and stuff like that, I thought, you know what? I could totally do this as Quesadilla, because I went to a Tupper party and the woman that did the Tupper party was named Frank, the punk rocker.
Mm-hmm.
And she was she called herself the all-American Jewish folk singing, surfing, lesbian Tupperware lady.
As we all are.
Right? And I thought she did a guitar. She had a guitar. She had a whole gimmick. And I thought, I could do this as Quesadilla. So I'm not kidding you. I started doing this just for the hell of it. And then within a year, I started making more money doing this on the weekends than I was at my full-time job. And I'm like, wow. Oh my gosh, wow. I'm going to sell plastic to people in their living rooms and be a millionaire. Wesh. Wesh.
Now, so where do you, I know that you've got some dates coming up, like at the Cavern Club in Silver Lake, but do you go to someone's home and do it if they've asked you to?
Yeah, so I would say 90% of my income is Tupperware sales. And it's an old-fashioned Tupperware party with a twist, because hey, there's a lot of sexy coming to your living room. But people book me for a Tupperware party. They invite all their friends. The host earns free Tupperware. So I use the basic format of the Tupperware demonstration, and I sell it to their guests. So the guests buy Tupperware. The host gets free Tupperware for hosting the party.
Mm-hmm.
And and everyone gets to experience all my sexy. So it's a win-win, Mark. It's a win-win.
Yeah, I'm feeling the win. There's no question.
And yes, Gina. Mark, I just want to make sure that everybody knows this isn't just any old, excuse me, let me start over. This isn't just any Tupperware sales situation. You won the title of Miss Tijuana Natural Springs Water, did you not?
The water that springs right through you. Yes. That was one of the sponsors of the Miss Tijuana pageant. Well, this all started for me in a pageant. 8 for AIDS has a benefit every year that is called Quest for the Crown of the Time. It's now called Best in Drag Show, which I am now the commentator for. And that happens every October, and it's like what you wish Miss America was, okay? Nasty is what it is. And so that's where it began. It began for me in pageants, and then it evolved from there. I started performing in clubs, and then Tupperware, and then I became an actor, and I'm like, hello. Everyone needs to experience all of this.
So on average, how many shows will you do in a given week?
Well, my schedule for Tupperware parties is I work Thursday, Friday, double Saturday, and I do Sunday afternoon. So I do about 5 Tupperware parties a weekend.
And how long is the show? Because it is a show,
right? It is a full comedy show in your living room. I would say it's about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how much the audience is giving me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even a little longer. And then I would say the entire experience is about 3 hours, because I get there, I set up, do the demonstration, I sit and take orders, and then... And that's the whole party.
You are working all weekend.
Working it, girl.
Okay.
Now, Kay, do us a favor and take a few minutes and just share with us your approach at selling Tupperware.
Well, here's the number one thing I always tell people. You know what? Don't be afraid to use cue cards, because luckily for me, I don't have to, because I distract them with all of this that they don't even realize I don't know what I'm talking about half the time.
You are quite colorful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's like Tijuana walking into your living room. Okay. Hey, don't let Donald Trump know that one. Okay. And it's just product knowledge is very important, or not. Just be sexy or show a lot of chichi and you're fine.
Now, I never thought I'd talk about Tupperware, but this has been around since I was a kid, and it has advanced to a crazy stage. I mean, Tupperware still exists.
It's still... Okay, Tupperware started in 1946 by a man named Earl Silas Tupper. He was a chemical engineer for DuPont. See, I'm not just a pretty face, Gina.
Wow!
I'm not. So what happened is he created the first Tupperware seal, which is an inverted, like a flipped around paint can. Mm-hmm. Which is why they have a patent on that, because pretty much it locked, if you burp it, I like to say whisper, but if you burp it, it pushes out all the air and right. It keeps it fresh longer. So that's the whole concept of Tupperware. And because they started in-home parties by Miss Bronnie Weiss, who I heard Sandra Bullock's about to do a movie about her life. Mm. She started the in-home party. So she started, she was the first woman on Business Weekly.
Wow.
Or one of those business magazines. I don't know. Nobody's ever sexy on that book, so I don't look at it.
So, like you just said, Sandra Bullock might be playing her. This is going to be a good spinoff after the movie Joy, with Jennifer Lawrence playing the woman who did the Miracle Mop. So
the mops.
We have like a whole new genre of awesome women in movies.
And who do you think? I think Salma Hayek's going to play me.
That would be amazing.
In the movie about quesadilla.
Yes.
Salma, do it.
So we have a lot of shows that you can go see. Taco Kisses at the Cavern Club Theater.
That's tonight.
1920 Hyperion in Silver Lake. Tonight at 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
June, Saturday the 11th, 8 and 10. Friday the 24th, 8 and 10. And then Saturday the 25th, 8 and 10.
Correct.
And if you want to email her, it's quesadilla, K-A-Y-S-E-D-I-A, at AOL.com. So if you have ever been to one of Quesadilla's parties, I want to hear from you. 888-696-1003. So joining us this morning is Quesadilla. Kay is a drag queen who sells Tupperware. She goes into your home, she puts on a show, and then she sells you Tupperware. And Kay is not without her fan base. I asked if you'd been to one of Kay's parties. Call. We have, in the business, Kay, we call it full phones.
Oh.
Let's go to Jennifer and Maria. Good morning, ladies.
Hello.
Good morning.
All right, so Jennifer, tell us your experience at Kay's Tupperware party.
Actually, I've seen his shows. Hi, Kay. This is
Jennifer
Boyo from Compton.
Oh, my God. Hi, Jennifer Boyo. She's in the ghetto. Hello. But,
I think you're from Tijuana. I think you need to stop. So I've seen her shows, and
I have to say, these are not typical drag queen shows where a bunch of drag queens are up on stage lip syncing. These are professional shows that are scripted and performed and acted out, and it is hysterical. She is fabulous.
Maria, what was your experience?
I've been to three Tup War fiestas out here in Glendora. We just love her out here, so it seems like all the ladies in Glendora keep on calling her back. So
I think they're my groupies.
So, Kay, I'm only assuming that at these parties there's drinking and there's the friends of the host, and then you start doing your show, and by the time you get around to Tupperware, these women are buying left and right.
Exactly, and I encourage them to drink because the more they drink, the better I look.
All right, Kay, before we take some more phone calls, Kay, guide us through some Tupperware. I haven't looked at Tupperware in 30 years, so tell us a little bit about Tupperware.
Well, it has evolved a little bit because, you know, they wanted to keep up with the times. There's a lot more microwavable items for women that are on the go or for families that are on the go. But I'll tell you some of my favorite pieces that I have right here in front of me. Like I have here, it's called the Season Serve, which is a marinator. Because, hello, you know, I could tell just by looking at you, Mark, that you probably like carne asada, right?
You love it. You love it,
don't you?
You love it.
Well, let me tell you, Mark, carne asada doesn't just happen. You have to marinate it, and you can marinate it with the Season Serve. And you'll notice that it has little grooves on the inside, which is perfect for, it's like tenderizing.
Oh, I see.
Tenderizing, Mark.
Tenderizing.
It tenderizes you.
I'm not even drunk, and I'm ready to buy.
Thank you. Thank you. But this is liquid airtight, so you can flip it, shake it, flap it, slap it, rub it down. Oh, no! And no leaks or spills when you're marinating. And this, again, eliminates waste because you don't have to use baggies that you end up throwing in the trash. You're going to keep reusing this.
That's fantastic. Wow.
That's a Season Serve Mariner. And look at this, is she called it a purple flower.
Yeah.
This is called the Shipping Deep.
The Shipping Deep.
Shipping Deep is for hosting your fiestas. Now the top becomes a
Shipping Dip.
Shipping Deep. Top of it becomes a serving tray. So you could put grapes, cheese, crackers, set it down, hors d'oeuvres, and walk around and hand them to your guests, and you could gossip. Talk about what you know who's wearing again. Who she's doing again. Okay. And then we have a large big bag of big container here for a bag of nacho chips, a smaller container here for your salsa that connects. It's like advanced technology.
Like that.
And another one for your guacamole that can fit on the outside of the container.
That's like, it's like a sock hop tray that they would put on the side of your car. It just fits on the side of the bowl.
Exactly. You put your socks in there.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you,
Gina. This is your mama's Tupperware. No. This is advanced stuff right here.
Your mama. Wait, what'd you say? It is advanced. It is advanced. But you could also put salad in your dressings in here. You could put shrimp. Ice with some shrimp.
Some shrimp. Okay.
Cocktail sauce and lemon. The possibilities are endless, Gina. They're endless.
That's great.
Yes.
Now, Kay, what is one of your top selling items when you do these parties?
And I'm not even kidding when I say this. My top selling item is the can opener. Because it's one of those that cuts from the outside, so there's no sharp edges.
It doesn't fall in.
It doesn't fall in. No chavings are falling into your product. And also, it doesn't cross-contaminate all your items because the can opener doesn't touch any liquids.
I like that.
Number one. It's my number one.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Kathleen has called. She has been to one of your parties. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, my sound extended family. How are you this morning?
If you just joined us, we are speaking with Kay Sadia, one of the top drag queen Tupperware sellers. So, Kathleen, where did you see Kay?
Well, I belong to a tall club for tall people. Oh, and yes. I have a girlfriend at Anaheim, and she, on a whim, decided to have this party. And so she invited a bunch of us. It was like Land of the Giants and Little Kay Sadia in there.
I wore flats that day.
Fabulous. Time. We were, and of course, copious amounts of alcohol were consumed. Think of it as having your girlfriends over and having a comedian come and give you this great show, and you're laughing your face off, and all of a sudden you're looking and going, hey, that stuff's not too bad.
That's awesome.
Kay, how much have you sold to one person? Do you have a record holder?
Well, I have. I'll tell you, my biggest party was a benefit. It was over $6,000 worth of Tupperware sold. It was for the American Cancer Society, which I also do fundraisers.
Wow.
And I also did there was one woman, she bought the pots and pans. I think she ended up spending like over $1,500 herself.
Ooh.
And I'm like, hey, girl, do you have any more friends like you? Have a party.
So how does it work? So they order it. Mm-hmm. At the party, and they pay you at that time. Like
they
with
pay
check
in full at the time. And what happens is the hostess, I ship it all to the hostess. She makes arrangements for her friends either come get it, for her to get it to her friends. And I always encourage the hostess to have a come pick up your crap party.
Now, Mark, something that is sitting right in front of us right now is something that I consider a classic I haven't messed with in a million years. It looks like an old school Jell-O mold.
It is a Jell-O ring mold, or as I like to say, Jell-O, it's me. I was wondering. No. But this is it is a classic Jell-O ring mold. Some people like to do Jell-O shots. I say make a Jell-O cake, okay?
Nice.
Filled with booze.
Literally never thought of that.
Thank you. That's Happy fantastic. Birthday to you, Gina.
All right, let's go to Nora. She's calling from West Covina. Good morning, Nora.
Good morning.
So you've been to one of Kay's parties.
Oh, yes, at my friend Mary's house in Montebello. It was a riot.
So, did you get drunk?
No, I didn't. Not so much, but some other girls did. And whatever you do, don't show up late to her party.
She'll
call you out.
I do.
So, Nora, how much Tupperware did you buy?
I probably bought $100 worth.
Nice. It wasn't respectable.
Well, I got to tell you, Kay, I said it before, and I realize you're not the originator, but this is really such a great idea for where you're invited to a house, they invite all their friends, they get a great show, and then they, like, that chips and... If I were at the party, I'm in right this minute for that thing right there.
Sign Mark up for a sheep and deep.
Mark, I'm gonna send you a sheep and deep. So every time you're dipping your sheep, you're going to think of me.
We see, we live on the lake and we go out in the boat all the time. And we sometimes will have dinner out on the boat with a bottle of wine. That would be perfect to take
and
out on the boat.
Mark, it floats because it's plastic.
Good point.
If ever you fall off drunk, it's going to float with you.
Well, you can see Kay several times coming up. Taco Kisses at the Cavern Club in Hyperion Silver Lake.
Real quick, that's in the La Casita restaurant.
So the Cavern Club theater is inside the Casita del Campo Mexican restaurant. In case you show up and they're like, oh, this isn't a theater, it's a restaurant.
Right.
Yeah, go through the bar and then you'll find my show.
It's tonight, 8 and 10. Mm-hmm. Saturday the 11th, 8 and 10. Friday the 24th, 8 and 10. And the 25th, 8 and 10. We will post all of this on Mark in the Morning Facebook and .com. Plus, if you want to email Kay, it's Kaysedia, Kaysedia at AOL.com. I couldn't have had more fun with you, Kay.
Oh, my God. Mark, I feel like we created memories that are going to last a lifetime.
Well, we'll get your sexy thing out of here, but we'll see you again soon, Kay.
Mark, I'll be in your dreams tonight. Bye.
A professional soccer player in Iran can spend the next 6 months living in a pineapple under the tree, under the sea, if he'd like, because he won't be allowed to play soccer. Sosha Makhani, the goalie for the Iranian national team, has been banned for 6 months after he was photographed wearing a pair of bright yellow SpongeBob SquarePants trousers.
Whoa!
Excuse me, do you know where we can get a Krabby Patty around here?
Iran's Football Federation deemed the fashion statement inappropriate.
Mm.
Iran has been cracking down on anything it considers to be of Western influence because it's trying to protect the country's culture.
Well, maybe we should just send Quesadilla over there to straighten him out. She'll have a word with him. It'll be fine.
I've got a feeling she would make a statement, my friend. She takes a look at the trending world so you don't have to. Here's Gina Grant.
Well, Jared Fogel, does that name sound familiar?
Yes.
Yep. Jared Fogel will have to serve his entire 15-year prison sentence after a judge denied his appeal and request to have it shortened. The disgraced former Subway pitchman said that 15 years behind bars is too harsh for sharing child pornography only once, quote unquote. He argued that he didn't widely distribute the material or act out any of the stuff. leave it at that. The appeals judge disagreed and ruled that possession of this stuff and his obsession with minors in an inappropriate way warranted the full 15-year sentence. And congratulations for me for editing all of that on the fly. I should have read it more carefully before I put it there. So, yeah, he tried to get out early, but that ain't happening. In fact, I believe he got, from what I remember, I think he got more than the maximum. I think the maximum was 12, and the judge gave him 15. So that'll be it for him for a while.
Wow.
Remember earlier, Mark, how I hated to hear something?
Mm-hmm.
You told her you hate to hear it about a horrible little spider problem. Well, this is pretty terrible, too. This is actually really, really terrifying. A woman celebrating her 55th birthday at Virginia Beach died Wednesday after she was impaled by a windblown beach umbrella.
Wow.
Yeah. Virginia Beach police said the umbrella was anchored in the sand when a strong gust of wind carried it, hitting the 55-year-old woman from the town of Chester. Emergency crews responded after receiving a 911 call about 5 p.m. regarding a woman in cardiac arrest. The woman was impaled in the torso, according to police. Wow. When medics arrived, they found the woman with a life-threatening injury, and she died at the hospital. I mean, talk about odds of something, of a freak accident happening. I can't even wrap my head around this story.
That's the kind of stuff you'd see in a horror film.
Yeah, seriously. And you know, it's like the movies. Did you see the Final Destination series?
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you're just, when your ticket's up, your ticket's up, and that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, this sounds like something out of a movie, but they would never write this because it's too implausible.
And I would like to thank you, Gina, for the most uplifting trending I think I've ever enjoyed.
Hey, man, great. Sometimes great. The news just needs to be shared. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Kiss.
They call it weekend.
Thank God.
Oh, no, you can't.
What?
You've still got a work day. You've got a 10 at 10 to promote.
Oh, well, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. It's a mystery 10 of 10 today, Mark. Mm. Even I haven't figured it out yet. There shall be a theme through 10 songs. 10 great songs will be a theme, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And it starts at 10 o'clock. Evidently, there's a reason for calling it the 10 of 10. Happy weekend.
Yes, and you soon. Now, we're back all next week. Swampy Marsh back in the room, the creator of Phineas and Ferb.
Yes.
Son of John Ritter, Jason Ritter in the room, and Christian Hand breaks down the music. We'll look forward to it while we enjoy our weekend. Mikey!
All right, that's it. The show's over. That's all. It's Genesis on Mark in the Morning.
Wow.
See what he did?
Wow,
see what he did?
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.